It's just gone 4:05. It's Ricky Gervais show. That's Steve just doing the microphone, putting his headphones on.
Sorry, Rick, I'm not. Sorry, yeah. It just didn't give me much time to prepare myself. So
no,
hang on.
A week.
Yeah.
It was actually a week.
I think that's working. My headphones are not quite working, hang
no.
on. It's going alright though.
Well, not only we haven't not yeah. heard for the show. Yeah, okay. I thought maybe people could phone in and give us some subjects to talk about. 0171 580 2000.
Yeah.
Or they can fax in 0171 580 1234 and they could get like a discussion going, like, what do you think of that Tour de France nonsense? And we could sort of, no, not that. What do you think about, well, you know, it's their idea, isn't it?
0171 580 2000. Quickly, I mean, really, seriously, just get on the phone there.
This is my record of the week.
Yeah, go on. Yeah. What is it, exciting?
Yeah, it's Foo Fighters.
Right, yeah.
Walking after you.
I'm looking forward to it. It's quite interesting. I think it's quite interesting, Rick, because, you know, it's a very sensitive song, very beautiful song, and I think it betrays something about you, about the inner Ricky.
Yeah.
Which I don't think, we've ever sort of really tapped into before.
No, but I mean, I've got something exciting for you as well.
Really?
Because maybe you, you know, you can find love too, because Petru sent in, a piece of paper here from, see there, from Mix Mag.
Yeah.
But it's the, personal ads. Oh, no, it's not. It's an ad. It's Select. That's the advert.
Whatever, Rick. It doesn't really matter, does it?
Realism, it makes all the difference.
No,
move on. So I don't think I'm just making it up.
Come on.
Right. Lonely, depressed, bi girl needs someone of any age to understand. Right? Any age.
Right, yeah.
Well, that fits, you know, you're any age.
Certainly.
Yeah. Ugly freaks preferred.
Yeah.
Right? Anyone accepted.
Well, I'm in there.
Well,
no,
don't count your chickens. Don't count your chickens. Confidentiality and honesty assured.
Yeah, that's fine.
Reply guaranteed.
Give it to me now.
Now, I know what you're thinking.
No,
she said,
give it to me now.
I know what she said. I know why you're thinking. It's just any age, which you fall into nicely.
Yep.
Ugly freaks preferred. So you're at top of the list. And anyone accepted. See, I don't think she realises quite what you look like because you're not in her framework. Do you know what I mean? So I still think you might be disappointed.
No, Gervais, this will work. Let me see this. Only depressed bi girl. What does that mean though? Bi girl. What is that?
Bisexual.
Bisexual?
Yeah. Again, I think she means
bisexual.
Sexuality of any human. Do you know what I mean?
Well, all I'm saying, bisexual Gervais. Do you know what I mean? Am I right?
What do you mean?
Hey, three. Yeah, hey, three people.
What?
Three in a bed.
You, a bisexual, and an amphibian.
Three in a bed, Rick. Hey. Hey.
But you won't be one of them.
It's not going to happen, is it?
No. Nearly 4:25. Ricky Gervais show. I'm Ricky Gervais.
Gervais, I know we haven't got much in the show today. We've not really thought of anything to talk about. Why did you just give a time check then?
Just to fill it up.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
But like, why? Do you know what I mean? Because the music.
It's sunny out as
the
well,
music
isn't it?
Was playing, right? And you mentioned it's 4:25. We'd never do time checks. How is that useful? What are you expecting? Someone's looking at it, they're going to think, 4:25? Christ, well, I should be at my mum's house.
They haven't played any good records. I can't let it interest him, but thank God he told me what else. I've got to take that bun out of the oven.
Well, exactly.
You never know.
But you don't want to tell
them. Or they probably just realised something good starting telly.
Well, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Don't say it's 4:25 because, you know, I don't know, maybe the Antiques Roadshow.
No, BBC always start things at 4:25, don't they?
Yeah.
And 5:02.
Well, you're a fool. That's what I'm saying. There's no reason for
why time checks. Why do they do that? And not on the hour like ITV? You know where you are with ITV. BBC, 10 past, 4:15. 0171 580 2000.
Yeah.
Why the BBC? I'm struggling.
You are indeed.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to, quickly go to an ad break, which is good.
Yeah.
That keeps people pretty fixed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they'll be desperate.
Yeah.
They'll be listening to the
But I'll do a little trial, watch this. But after that, if you can hold out for 40 seconds, we've got the new one from the Manic Street Preachers. You've got to be happy with that.
I'm loving it. Gervais, before we do it.
Go on.
I watched Team Knight Rider yesterday.
You didn't?
You've seen it. It's a new sort of thing, must be made 10 years later. And it's sort of just the one Knight Rider car, it's a team of them. A fleet of them, Gervais.
Team, I think he said teen.
No, teen Knight Rider.
Yeah, when he was little, he had spots and he was a little bit embarrassed.
On like a little, little scooter.
Yeah, and you go up to girls and go, hello. Do you want to, yeah. Teen Knight Rider.
Teen Knight Rider would be beautiful.
That's great, isn't it? Yeah.
That'd be great.
And Kit goes, what are you doing? Nothing.
Yeah.
I was just, I got him caught in the flies.
He's like Kit said, sort of explaining how to shave.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be beautiful.
You dirty little, now that has really gummed up my CD player now. Oh, we'll stop it there, shall we?
Teen Knight Rider.
Teen Knight Rider.
I tell you, if we get on to talking about telly programs, Gervais, we'll be here all night.
Yeah.
Won't we?
Yeah, well, it's about 25 past four now.
That's brilliant. They're disappointed. But listen, Gervais, you know I've always said that, you know when a party's going bad.
Yeah.
When you end up in the kitchen, talking about old kids' TV shows.
And singing the theme tunes.
Exactly.
And you remember Swizzlers. Oh yeah, yeah. And flying saucers, yes, we remember
and
flying
Batwing jumpers. And everyone starts laughing.
Batwing jumpers.
Do you not remember Batwing jumpers?
She's retired now.
Thanks. Oh, grot bags. Hey.
Grot bags? What was that?
That was the emu. Pink windmill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Talk about gay subtext. Pink windmill.
So I take it with the fact that we're talking about it. We are in the kitchen at a bad party.
We're in the kitchen
at a bad
party.
We've got nothing, have we?
We've got nothing to talk about.
You know, usually we say, oh, we've got nothing, we've got a couple of things and we get out. We've really got nothing,
absolutely
have we?
Nothing.
What about that Teen Knight Rider? We were going somewhere.
Oh, there must Teen Knight Rider. Yeah. Hilarious.
Michael, it's time for school. Oh, come on, I've got bellyache. Well, you're well enough to do that. I have to do that. I have to get rid of my poison.
But teen. I wasn't talking about teen.
No, sorry, teen Knight Rider. You're actually going to tell an anecdote there?
Well, no, not really. All I was going to say was that it was greatest thing because there was Teen Knight Rider, which is the sort of 10 years later. There's a team of people with super electronic cars driving around solving crimes.
Yeah.
And then it flipped over, and there was Buck Rogers in the 25th century, featuring Gil Gerard. Do you remember him? Good looking fella.
Yeah.
And Twinkie or a sit, biddy biddy biddy. And
sorry. are you on crack?
No.
No, sorry, have you taken sort of like some real sort of heavy mixture of cocaine and
this?
What's that? And obviously a good looking fella, biddy biddy, and a
No, that's Twinkie.
And then I turned,
impression of Twinkie, the little robot.
The little silver robot
that went biddy biddy biddy. It's as simple as that. I'm not trying to corrupt you. I'm not trying to get, you know, confuse you.
Oh, go on, yeah, okay, it's fair enough.
All I'm saying is, great TV shows there that we forget, you know. We're in the kitchen, Gervais, aren't we?
We're
in the kitchen.
But everyone else has left. It's just us two.
It's just you
and I. We could go home.
We could go home, but we're still enjoying it.
Yeah.
In the kitchen there.
Yeah.
But what I was going to talk about is, you know, there's a lot of TV shows. There's a lot of TV shows, Gervais, that we know and love and we remember.
Yeah.
But a lot of films, right, that became TV shows, MASH, obviously the big success. Did you know, Gervais, I read about this yesterday, fantastic. Do you know that they made a TV show, right, in the 1982 of Casablanca, right, featuring David Soul.
As what, Rick?
As Rick. What a fantastic TV show.
That is fantastic.
It'd be Casablanca, and you'd have a picture of him, wouldn't you? And every week, they'd find a different reason for him to say, play it again, Sam.
And lovely Patty Coombs. As his laser, whatever. Oh, that was fantastic.
Mr. Rick, I'm not playing backgammon for money. Play it again, Sam. It'd be great. Every week, whatever it be. I don't know what their different contrivances. It's like a catchphrase.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Great, wouldn't it?
Bobby Crush as the bloke on the piano.
You must remember this.
Oh, fantastic.
Every week he gets an excuse to play it.
Well, once I was looking through, right, and there was that TV show called You Must Be the Husband, right? What? Yeah, it was called You Must Be the Husband, and I'd never seen it before, and me and Joe were watching it, it was just flicked over, we saw the last, that we were going to watch something else, and it just ended with the waiter coming up to one of them and going, you must be the husband, and we thought, do they have to remember that every single week?
Dearie me, that's like a hard work.
Yeah.
Putting catchphrases
in
TV shows, hard work.
David Soul. Oh, that is fantastic.
Dave Hutch.
Oh, who played Victor Laszlo?
I don't know anything else about it. If anyone's ever seen it, please give me a call. What a fantastic show that would be.
Oh, I know who played Victor Laszlo. What's his name? Rodney. What's his name? Nicholas Lyndhurst.
Nicholas Lyndhurst.
He'd be great, wouldn't he? Nick Berry.
That'd be beautiful. Oh. And I'll tell you what it would be. It would be, they'd be on a golf course, and Sam would, like, miss a stroke, wouldn't he? And they'd just go, oh, play it again, Sam. And everyone else would laugh. It'd be beautiful.
Oh, baby bird, if you'll be mine. We can keep this cup forever now.
Yeah.
We're in the kitchen.
Yep.
Should we make a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Apparently, Steve, who says this? He doesn't say, play it again, Sam.
No, I know he doesn't.
He says, go on, play it, Sam.
I know that, you stupid toss. Oh, for goodness sake. I studied film for 3 years, for Christ's sake, Gervais. Of course I know that, but it's the TV show. They're bound to have made the same mistake, aren't they? Of course that.
You can do an academic subject, then.
Of course. Oh, I can't. Well, I'm sickened. I'm sickened. Because everybody knows that, Gervais, and yet he's come out and he's spouted rubbish. Oh, I'm just, oh.
He thinks it's a good show.
Oh. God, I'm disappointed. Oh, I'm so angry.
He likes the show.
I'm so angry because everybody thinks I'm an imbecile.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough. Yeah. No, because I was going to mention a couple, because I came up with a couple of my own TV shows.
Go on, yes, I've got a few.
Have you come up with your own?
Yeah.
Have you talked about this in the past?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the, when they have a cliche in the title and that's the
The best one we came up with.
Like a touch of frost and it's his name.
I know, I love it.
Yeah.
But my favourite, this is one I came up with, right? It was called Lady of the Night. Right? But that's knight spelled K-N-I-G-H-T, right?
Yeah.
And what is clever about it is, or that, what it is there's a knight, right, a knight of the realm, okay, but it's set about sort of 1870 or something, sort of Sherlock Holmes era, that sort of thing. And he's a knight of the realm, you know, Sir Johnson or whatever, and he's a knight, whatever, but he doubles up as a private investigator, right?
Yeah.
And he's got, working for him, a prostitute,
yeah,
right, who's also a private investigator.
Yeah.
And it's called Lady of the Night, you see, and it's double meaning because
it's clever, it's
she's a lady of the night,
and she's
a lady of
called
the night.
Knight.
The knight,
it's fantastic.
Brilliant. And they go around, but seriously, they go around investigating like crimes, sort of Whitechapel and stuff. And it's brilliant because you know, obviously she's a prostitute, whatever, and he's a knight, and there's a bit of sexual tension, Gervais, obviously,
yeah.
And obviously got all the Victorian elements and everything, and obviously they can't associate with one another openly in the streets because that would be, you know, he's obviously got to maintain a certain reputation.
Yeah.
So it's Lady of the Night. There's all the intrigue and tension. What do you think about
that? You thought this through.
I thought that through.
That is fantastic, using all your technical knowledge,
yeah,
and your film study and your...
Yeah.
I came up with one.
Go on.
Starring naughty Samantha Janus as a nun with Diana Rigg as a Mother Superior, and it's called Nun the Wiser.
That's beautiful.
And they're naughty. And
that's
the,
great.
And the sequel, she gets pregnant and she has to go and work in the kitchen, right? And that's called Nun in the Oven.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Oh, that's beautiful, Gervais.
Remember Ray Cooney, that thing in the 80s when all those... had those farces on, and basically what he did was substitute the word life for wife. He had run for your wife, right?
Yeah.
And wife begins at 40.
Beautiful. Doesn't make any sense, does it,
no,
grammatically?
No. I just thought of one, like, I said to Claire a few weeks ago that it would be like a stage play and there'd be loads of people jumping in and out, like, of hospital beds. But in one of the beds, one of the wives, she just wanted to die. Because they had no quality. And it's, whose wife is it anyway? That'd be good, wouldn't it?
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. Brian Rick.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
That'd be
I
lovely.
Love that. Touch of frost. It's so clever.
And the other one is, loads of lawyers with their wives jumping in and out of bed with just underpants on taking drugs. And it's this wife.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a nice touch.
So, let's have, some compositions then.
But you know, I've got a whole game show as well, which I could mention.
Go on.
Do you want me to mention it?
Well, should we, play, Blue Oyster Cult?
Yeah.
The classic song.
Can I
Don't
say,
Fear the Reaper.
I've got a game show, right, that I came up with.
Yeah.
Okay. And it features me, but I think it could be perhaps a vehicle for yourself, Gervais.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna tell you, like, it's called Ricky Gervais Meat Rations.
Right.
And,
I like it already.
You like it already?
Because there's a part in there for me.
Yeah.
Could I play, the Ricky Gervais?
Yes. Yes.
Fantastic.
It was originally called, basically, let me just summarize very briefly. I'm not going to tell you all the games, but it's basically recreating the heady days of the war.
Right.
Right.
That's fantastic.
It's beautiful already, isn't it? It's got the nostalgia thing.
I've got a game as well.
But it was originally going to be called Ricky Gervais Fag Rations.
Right.
But apparently cigarettes weren't rationed in the war. So
right
it's called Meat Rations now.
Excellent.
And I'll tell you some great games. My favorite is, what's it called? To Be Perfectly Anne Frank. It's a great game. It really is. It's a great game where you've got to pretend to be Anne Frank and hide from sort of snooping Nazis.
Oh, that is fantastic.
It's a great game. And there's also, of course, well, let me go into it. There's also Dig for Granny.
Good.
Well, I'll Dig for Victory, if you like. And what happens, you're scavenging through rubble, right?
Can I just say, these are copyright. Anyone trying to rip me off, I mean, I've got the Penis Puppet Theatre.
Yeah.
I've got a stake in this, surely, haven't
I? Oh, certainly. Ricky Gervais Meat Rations.
You can have a bit of my Penis Puppet Theatre.
That's lovely.
Yeah? And I've also got a new game that I'll talk about after yours. It's called Tip the Balance. and it's sort of like a game for four, and it comes, it's like, I'll send it off to Waddington, see what you think. I mean, there's teething problems with
okay.
it.
Well, listen, Gervais, look,
let's play Don't Fear the Reaper.
Let's play that tune.
By Blue Oyster and his cult.
It's a classic.
Yeah, and then we come back and we try and make some money.
Let's make some cash.
Well, you've got to be happy with that. Blue Oyster cult, Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yeah.
Yeah? So go on then. So what other games are in this, Ricky Gervais's meat rations?
Well, it starts off, there's the sound of an air raid siren.
Ooh. Yeah, I like it already.
And we came up with, start queuing up, Mum, for Ricky Gervais' meat rations.
Excellent. Do I look like sort of Walker out of Dad's Army?
Yes.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Now you come in.
Yeah.
And what it is, the set, right, is kind of like half of it is an old sort of East End pub, and yeah. the rest is kind of rubble and debris.
Oh,
and a skyline of ruined, you know, Britain. And what it is you come in, you're fairly sort of sharp and dapper. And of course, Chaz and Dave provide the music throughout the show.
And you know the Dolly Bird that usually comes on? She's the one with like, curlers with a little, scarf on it.
That's right.
She comes out with like, those little floral
That's
aprons.
It. You've got it.
Oh, fantastic.
And there's a game show, there's a bit in the show called Roll Out the Barrel.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens in that.
Yeah. Roll Out the Barrel. Oh, we could think of something.
There's a barrel of fun, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And there's, yeah, so there's, and this is a dig for victory where you've got like a big pile of rubble, right? And you're digging through it, scavenging for food, canned food. But if you find like relatives or friends,
yeah.
you score extra points.
Oh, that is fantastic. And there must be some sort of fun with like gas masks.
Yeah.
When you can all put them on and dress up as like, I don't know, one of the banana splits.
Yeah.
That's
what could that be, gas?
Who's Snork?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, possibly.
So every week there's the real Snork.
Right.
So like, it's like, confessors come on, they're you know, which one's Snork?
Which one's Snork?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you've got maybe got three celebrities.
Yeah, who's a gas mask and the real Snork.
That's
so
great.
So you've got someone like Ted Malt's son, he pops one on, you've got Frank Bruno, yeah, and Ginny Cooper.
That's it.
And they put their mask on and like a little outfit, and then the real Snork is there, and you've got to ask some questions. Like, you get like Bernie Winters and, Henry Cooper going, number three, how long have you been in the banana split? And Ginny Cooper goes, oh, about 6 years. Goes, oh, I don't know, I think the banana split's been going longer than that. No, I don't think it's number three. What do you think? And, Brenny Winters goes, number one, how did you get the job being in banana splits? And it's probably Ted Malt's son going, oh, I want some man put in the paper. That's not right. They were born. You know what I mean?
And there's Chaz and Dave in the corner just going, na 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 na, yeah!
Yeah, with the real Snorks, and they always, the lights go, right, and that one stands up and he sits back down again, and then the real Snork, and the others all take their masks off, and they go, it's lovely, what are you doing now? Well, I'm appearing, Puss in Boots down in, Brighton, oh, that'd be fantastic.
What, Ginny Cooper?
I don't know, what does she do? Oh, she's a novelist.
She's a novelist.
Oh, yeah!
Now appearing in Panto. I'm not letting you book the guest.
Oh, God.
But wait a minute. I mean, I love your idea.
Yeah.
Who Snork.
Yeah.
It's a bit odd, isn't it? How we started off with a kind of wartime nostalgia
yeah,
show. But now we've sort of featured sort of quite bad 70s animal
nothing
things.
Wrong with the, banana splits.
But I like that. That's a good game.
Yeah, okay. That can be like a special feature.
So I'm just going to make a note of it because we've got Dig for Victory, yeah. To be perfectly Anne Frank.
Yeah, and Who's Snork.
Who's Snork.
Yeah. Well, I'm full of ideas. I could probably help you on this.
Oh, this is great. Well, what other?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to, well, maybe we'll come up with some other ideas as we go.
Yeah, we've still got Tip the Balance to go.
But you know, can I just say, yeah. I did actually want to try and pitch this. When I appeared on Blockbusters?
Yeah.
Well, I obviously met with a producer there, and I said, I've got an idea for you.
Have we talked about this on air?
We talked about me on Blockbusters.
Have we?
But not about, my pitching this
thing. No, go on.
And I said to her, sit down, I said, I've got a great idea. And I tried to bid it with me as the star. She said, who are you? Steve's meat rations. She said, why are you in it? I said, oh, I am. Don't worry, I'm the only one who can put it off.
Yeah.
And, she said, right, go on, what is it? And at that time, I had none of the games. All I had was the title. And she went, I like it, yeah, what are the games? I don't know. She said,
oh, if you'd have just said, well, I'll stop you there, love, and just popped a gas mask on and
yeah.
said, who am I?
She'd have gone, Snork.
No, it's not. Oh, we got an ad break, then we got a classic from Blur. It's 5 o'clock. So, if you were gonna watch that thing that started at 5:02, you missed the first 5 minutes of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So we're doing well with this new game show, aren't we?
Yeah, we've got a few ideas
Ricky
there.
Ricky Gervais's meat rations.
Ricky Gervais's meat rations.
I love that.
It's a great idea, isn't it? We came up with another quick game, because obviously so far we've got Dig for Victory, To Be Perfectly Anne Frank, and Who's Snoring, which is possibly, I think, the most popular game so far.
Yeah.
And also we've come up with a new one, haven't we? Puss in Jack Boots.
Yeah. You get a beauty of the age.
Say,
to come out.
Saucy Samantha Janus?
Yeah, maybe she comes out and she's got a little moustache on. Right, and a peak cap pulled low and Nazi regalia, and you go, and you got Bernie Winters and Ted Moltzman and Jilly Cooper going, you're obviously, by the warm applause, you're much loved.
Yes, I am!
Oh, oh God, show business, and the audience clap.
Obviously, yeah. Well, that's
yeah, I guess, yeah. I don't know, you're doing the Nazi accent very well. You an actress?
Yes, that is correct!
Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Could you salute in, please?
Yeah.
Very nice. Just do a little Nazi salute.
Yeah, little click, that'd be lovely.
I thought of a little quick
and
game.
And what's that one? That's called Puss in Jack Boots.
Puss in Jack Boots.
Yeah, lovely.
I thought of a quick one. It's called, Get the Hell Out of Hiroshima. Right, it's against the clock. Anyway, there's a, that's there as well. And, we got any other ideas, Gervais?
The Cure, love song.
Gervais, it's time for the game show everyone's talking about, Make Gervais Laugh.
Yeah.
We've had an entry here this week, alright, and what it is, let me explain the rules. Somebody sent in a picture, Gervais, right, I'm gonna show it to you now, and if you laugh, then hopefully this young fellow wins a prize. It's from Neil in, let me see, Highgate.
Oh, no, I'm laughing already, though.
Are you?
Yeah, because
well,
I'm the anticipation. All right, okay.
Straighten yourself out. Now, you've not seen this picture.
Oh, it's been so disappointing if it's not funny. There's nothing worse than that, you know what I mean?
I know.
Okay.
Well, I think you're
right. You run the risk.
Well, that's the nature of the game show.
Okay.
All right.
And what's in it for everyone else who can't see the picture or cares?
Nothing.
Right?
Nothing.
No, that's good.
But then, you know, what
we're not here for their... Exactly. Are we?
All right, you know, we're busy men, we've got things to do. We've got to entertain ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'd say is, what is there in this show anyway for anybody else?
Good point.
At least we get a laugh.
Yeah, okay.
Now, really? What would you say, the other thing, though, is there a prize for Neil?
Yeah, if I laugh,
what can you give him?
Will you give him sort of like a chuckle-o-meter? You know, the Ricky Gervais's chuckle-o-meter.
The chuckle-o-meter?
Yeah, it's up to 10 CDs.
Right, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
All right then. Well, okay. Because that first one we did ages ago, that was like number 10, wasn't it?
Yeah,
8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
Right. Here comes the picture. I think it looks to me like it's an internet picture.
Okay.
I'll be with you. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Here comes the picture now, Gervais.
Oh God. Oh God. Oh, has he done that? No.
Now listen. What I'll do? Let's play a record, Gervais, and I will.
Don't explain it.
We can explain
no,
it.
No,
we can explain
no,
it.
No, don't, please. Right, no. when I was about 16, my nephew got mumps, and all the men in my family were really worried, right? And I soon found out why. You know, obviously, if you get mumps when you're an adult and you haven't had it before, you go sterile, or it can cause sterility.
Really?
Yeah. Funny. Yeah. And, I was about 16, and, this worried me, and I went to my mum and I said, have I had mumps? She went, you've had one mump. Now, I don't know what mumps are or is, but I'm pretty sure you can't have a mump. Or, I think she meant that one side of my face swelled up, like a gobstopper, it was. But what is a mump, or what are the mumps? I mean, it's a viral infection, isn't it? I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want her to be right. Like,
I don't know, can you have, like, a number of mumps or one big, big mump?
What if you had one big
like
mump?
It's like a hunchback for a while. It's just like, you're mump-backed for a while. Yeah. You just walk around.
You're mump-backed.
Yeah, and you don't remember, because it's always when you're very young.
You're mump-backed, but yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But apparently I had one mump. So I could probably one of them, just one of them went a bit sterile.
Can you, so you, you can become sterile
yeah.
if you have the mumps when you're an adult.
Apparently, yeah.
Can you, I mean, does that, for instance, does that, it doesn't cause, say for instance an adult had mumps, right,
yeah.
and then he sort of had sex and he gave birth to a child, his wife gave birth to a child.
Yeah.
That can't cause any other problems, it can't cause deformity or anything. It's just, no, because it's just my dad had the mumps.
when
I don't know. I don't know. We should get our facts right, really. If there's a doctor out there, I mean, can mumps course really? How does it do it? I have stories about like my teacher, his mate, had to have them. They swelled up, and he had to put them in cotton wool for about a month.
God almighty.
Because it can, you know, mumps aren't fun.
No, I'm not saying it. I mean, well, I can say maybe you've had mumps and now you're sterile.
That could be a, was that, mumps aren't fun?
Yeah.
That's like go to work on an egg.
Yeah.
Who said that? I was having an argument with someone about who said, go to work on an egg. Someone said it was that William G. Stewart bloke who...
No, it was...
Faye Weldon.
No, when it was Salman Rushdie. It was.
No, it wasn't.
No, hang on. No, maybe it wasn't.
It was Faye Weldon.
It wasn't Faye Weldon.
Right.
It was either, right, let me tell you what it was.
Okay.
It was either that bloke that wrote, A Year in Provence, or whatever it's called.
Right. 0171-580-2000. Who came up with the slogan, go to work on an egg?
It was either the Year in Provence fella.
Is that?
I mean, what his name was, I don't know.
0171-580-2000. Who was the Year in Provence
fella? You know that fella who wrote that book, Year in Provence? Everyone read it. Everyone thought it was great.
No,
his name's Peter or something like that.
Right, okay.
Right, and I think he definitely wrote that.
Salman Rushdie came up with something.
I think it was a year. See, I'm thinking that maybe it was the egg thing. But I would say as well that that fella that wrote Year in Provence, he also came up with the, you know, the Fat Willy cartoon series. What a hilarious series of books they are.
Not Fat Willy, is it?
It was called Fat Willy, wasn't it?
What's the one, Where's Willy?
Where's Wally?
Where's Wally?
Where's Willy? That'd be pretty straightforward every time, wouldn't it? Well, there's a fella there.
No,
it is.
Not where you come from, it wouldn't.
Oh.
Well, there you go. Well, Peter Mayle is the name of the bloke who wrote, Year in Provence. Thanks to, Neil. And also, Neil says that Salman Rushdie did Naughty But Nice for the cake commercial. Now, I still don't know who did, Go to Work on an Egg. I think it was Faye Weldon.
No, it was Peter Mayle.
Do you reckon it was?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I've got it.
Yeah.
And you very rarely, Jerry from Balham, you very rarely go sterile for mumps, but it is a viral, infection, yeah.
It's such an informative show.
This programme, exactly, Steve.
Yeah. It's like a public service.
It really is, isn't it? And we treat things sort of sensibly and maturely, and we give out, you know, the correct information.
I'll be honest with you.
It's safe for kids to listen to, isn't it?
Well, imagine if you were in the, I mean, this happens to us all the time, you know, you're in the pub and someone will say, well, you know, is mumps a problem, is it going to cause infertility? And you're there just saying,
Well, I was listening to Ricky Gervais.
And?
It's very rare. It is a viral infection. Exactly. And do you know who did, Go to Work on an Egg? They went, no. Peter Mayle or, Faye Weldon, we're not sure.
Possibly Salman Rushdie.
No, definitely wasn't Salman Rushdie.
That's quite incredible, though, to go from writing Naughty But Nice about cakes
to having to live in a hole for the rest of your life. Yeah. I used to write when I was at school.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I didn't watch sort of kids' programmes when I was growing up. I watched sort of crap adult ones. You know, I mean, ITV on the telly from, 12 midday through to, like, midnight. And I'd watch all the police series, Police Story, Charlie's Angels, Steve Austin. And Teen Knight Rider, yeah. And, I wrote this essay at school and I just couldn't stop. And I started serialising it. And every time I just kept writing, I was sort of like, you know, people were reading it at school. And it was about a cop, a New York cop, who was as hard as, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I worked out what his name was. Now, God, this is how television influences me. Because it was one word name, which is his surname. That was the title of the, book, title of the series. And that's what all his friends called him. It was called Jezuk.
Jezuk?
Yeah.
Jezuk.
Yeah, I thought it had a Z and a K and a J. Jezuk.
Jezuk.
Yeah.
It does sound so close to, like, Pillock or Jesse.
Yeah.
Or Nonce.
Nonce. There's no Nonce.
Well, do you know what I mean?
Cross between sort of
Jezuk.
Like Jezuk. Pillock and Jism.
Damn you, Jezuk!
Yeah.
You're off the case.
Give me the badge. Keep the stinking badge. I don't need a badge to be a cop. It was all stuff like that. And he'd first, and so he'd look at his gun and go, this is my law.
I mean, my God, it's Jezuk. How did he find us?
Jezuk. Yeah, it was great. There'd be shootouts and everything. Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Let me just ask, did he have perhaps a broken marriage? He was hard-boiled. He played by his own rules.
Yeah,
I imagine.
Simultaneous with this.
He was a bit of a drunkard as well, had a bit of drink.
No, he didn't drink, no. He was a good-looking fella.
But he was letting himself go, he was a bit hard-bitten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was sort of simultaneous, which was more of a novel. I wasn't serious, I was actually writing a novel and I got like three exercise books, right? It was about this kid, right?
God.
Right? He saw his, parents just brutally murdered for no reason by a gang of outlaws, yeah? and he buried his father, and he knelt down on the grave, and he said, looked up, and he goes, as God is my witness, I will avenge thee. And then he sort of went to the store, and he got loads of bullets, and he practiced, and he was the fastest guy. He was only about 16.
Yeah.
His name was Jody Barnes.
Jody Barnes is all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine, that's nice.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Have you still got any of those exercise books?
I hope not. Because the teachers used to sort of like, I must have gone, yeah, it's good. I must have passed around the, he's done another one. Gervais has written another episode of Jezuk. Yeah.
But I say, seriously, if you brought one of those in and read it out, I'd be entranced.
Imagine it.
Seriously, that'd be great. Can you, do you think
the ramblings of a twisted 14-year-old brain that only ever watched ITV cop shows.
Do you think your mum might still have some copies of,
no,
of Jezuk?
No.
Was it like sort of, the initial one was like Jezuk, then it was like Jezuk abroad, Jezuk in Paris, Jezuk on safari.
Yeah.
Here comes Jezuk.
My mum,
return of Jezuk.
I liked that Jezuk. He's a proper man.
Yeah.
He's not like you. But Mum, I invented Jezuk. You're a Nazi. You couldn't be like Jezuk. He's in my mind.
Return of Jezuk. Here comes Jezuk. Son of Jezuk.
Oh, it's fantastic. What if Jezuk met Jodie Barnes? They'd get on. They'd have no quarrels.
They could team up.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. After break, a little bit of Lars.
Team Jezuk.
This is 5 minutes.
The news. I'm looking forward to the news. You've had a great couple of newscasters the last couple of weeks.
don't piss them off because Jezuk came in here.
Oh my God! He would not stand for it.
He'd arrest the engineer.
He wouldn't stand for it. He'd soon figure out whose fault it was.
Yeah. And he'd get me
Jezuk.
They'd be down the precinct, wouldn't they? Asking a few questions.
Jezuk, you're off the case.
I don't need a stinking badge.
Yeah. I bet Jezuk plays by his own rules, doesn't he?
Of course he does, but they take his gun, his official gun, not the one on his ankle, though.
Oh, he's got a little ankle gun.
Of course he has.
I didn't expect that from Jezuk.
Yeah, he has to.
Is Jezuk one of those NYPD cops who doesn't have a first name?
Yeah, I'm thinking him now. I think he might be a little bit Latino, maybe.
Oh, really?
Hispanic, I don't know.
Hispanic?
Yeah, Jezuk. Jezuk.
Jezuk,
Czechoslovakian Hispanic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jezuk.
Get me Jezuk.
Yeah, Emilio Jezuk.
Emilio Jezuk. That'd be fantastic. So what's the name of the show itself? Is it named after
him? It's called Jezuk.
It's called quite simply Jezuk.
Of course it is. It's called Jezuk, yeah.
And he's an NYPD cop.
When is he going to marry that girl?
Oh, come on. Make her an honest woman,
for goodness sake. She's cooked to you again. Christ's sake, Jezuk.
God. But you see, he's hard-boiled, Gervais. He's already had two failed marriages.
I know.
And I'll tell you what it is, it was because the fact that he was a cop. Because you bring that stuff home with you, right? You can't just leave that at the office, Gervais.
I'm worried about his kid, 16.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he going off the rails a bit?
He's on smack.
I don't believe it.
He could have been a great cop. He could have been a football player as well.
Well, of course he was, because he was great in college.
It was great in college, isn't it?
And now he's hanging out with the wrong people because Jezuk can't give him enough attention.
I know.
And of course, Jezuk's ex-wife, of course, is dead. So he's got to raise his kid on his own.
Is she?
Is she? Well, she got.
What's she done?
His first wife, the marriage broke up because he was heavy drinking.
Oh, God, and the fact that he's a cop. Yeah, but that's because of the things he has to go through every day of his life.
I know.
Listen, you're facing, look, smackheads coming at you, coked on crack, right?
Oozes.
Oozes, right? You've got to let your hair down in the bar. He killed a young kid.
I know he did. His first wife, I think what happened there, Gervais, as far as I'm aware, is that they got divorced, but really they still love each other, don't they? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
She's the only one really that stands by him.
Well, Jezuk says, well, you know, I can love two people.
Yeah.
And he has done.
Yeah.
Well, I had to cut those scenes out.
And his second wife, she's dead, isn't she? She got killed, didn't she?
Well, yeah. You know why?
Why?
He hesitated after he'd killed the young smackhead boy that was coming at him. Had a grenade.
I don't believe
it. Yeah, a grenade, yeah.
And his second wife got caught in the crossfire.
And he thought, he shot him. And that's why he never hesitates again. He just goes in blasting. Sometimes he shuts his eyes.
He just goes in blasting.
Yeah.
What would be the opening credit sequence for Jezuk? Think, what would happen? Would it be Rockford Files style, where he's in the supermarket, you know, buying food and all the sort of it?
I think he'd be, no, I think it would be like split screen. And one bit he'd be turning round in like a mall, like firing. On the other one, he'd be dropping the toast and his wife would be ruffling his hair in the morning. And he'd be going, oh, and he'd sort of like be getting crumbs off it. And
well, it wouldn't be his wife, it would be a lovely lady he'd probably picked up the night before.
No.
Remember that great...
He doesn't do that.
No, he does.
He doesn't.
He's estranged from his wife, and his second wife's dead, you idiot.
Yeah, but we established he's got a new one.
He hasn't got a new wife?
No, not a new wife. He's got a new bird, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, you said wife.
Well, he's faithful to her, though. He doesn't go and pick up floozies.
What?
He doesn't go around with dirty girls.
I always remember from the beginning of Quincy, you know, where he's there, and he's doing exactly that, sort of running and jumping over things. And then you see him, and you think he's examining a body, because that is what he does.
And he's kissing someone.
It pulls out, and he's given a woman in a sunbathing outfit, just giving her a massage.
A sunbathing outfit?
Like it, not the
where's one. Where's Steve Lim to that? I did see in your a sunbathing outfit. For sure. There was flesh bits in the middle and the rest were polka dot. Boy, that's sunbathing outfit. Sunbathing outfit. That's great.
Well, birthday suit. There was a girl in the altogether. The altogether.
Oh, God. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. What? What's wrong with that?
I will pop this rubber thing on and for sure I am in a sexual intercourse outfit. Sunbathing outfit.
I can't believe I've embarrassed myself with my use of language when it's invariably yourself, Jermaine.
I know, yeah.
Oh dear.